Pericope of Scripture for this morning, this Pentecost Sunday morning, is 1 John, part of chapter 3 and chapter 4. So the first epistle of John, John has his gospel too, but this is the first epistle of John, beginning our reading at chapter 3, verse 18. And we'll read through 4, verse 14. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. For he that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might believe, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Our text is verses 1 through 3 of chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his inspired word. Beloved, today we celebrate a great event. An event that took place, boys and girls, 50 days after Christ's resurrection, 10 days after his ascension. On Pentecost, Jesus Christ poured out the Holy Spirit, whom he had received from the Father. The Spirit became the Spirit of Christ, and now he poured that out on his church. Through that Spirit, it is Christ who comes to his church, and it's through the Spirit that Christ gathers his kingdom. It's the greatest event. Coming in that event were the signs, the sound as of a mighty rushing wind, the sight, tongues as of fire, and then the tongues, the various different languages of those who were gathered there in Jerusalem, and the apostles were able to preach in those different languages. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be here. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no Christian. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not understand the Scriptures. Without the Holy Spirit, we'd have no assurance. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no preservation or perseverance. We would not be saved. This morning, we look at just one aspect of the Holy Spirit, an aspect that's not popular, the fruit not so tasty, but so vital, even though not appreciated. What aspect is that? The work of the Holy Spirit preserving his church in the truth. The work of the Holy Spirit preserving his church in the truth. Giving his church right understanding of his word. Causing the church not to be swallowed up by the world or by the devil who goes about roaring like a lion. The Holy Spirit gives you and me spiritual discernment. When the Apostle John writes of Jesus discussing with his disciples why he must leave them, he said, "This is the benefit. Then the Comforter will come." John 16, verse 3. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you many things to come." Oh, we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who causes you and me to love the truth, to discern spiritual things, and to abide in the comfort of the gospel. In this epistle, John is writing about our fellowship with God in Christ Jesus. How with joy, John writes in our text, "Beloved," there's a bond of love that we have with God in Christ Jesus alone. By Christ Jesus, we have fellowship with God. We abide in Christ, and he abides in us by his Spirit. Always the Spirit testifies in our hearts by the gospel. And that's why the devil seeks to overthrow the authority of the Scriptures. And that is why we have the admonition before us this morning. There are false prophets, those who come from outside the church, but also come often within the church, attacking the church. And that's why there are repeated admonitions in Scripture to be discerning. Test the spirits There are many false teachings, some very blatant, many very subtle, undermining the word, detracting from Christ Jesus, denying Christ's authority and lordship. And those false teachings swirling around us affect the church. Recognize how the world has influenced the church in many different ways, leading the church in false teachings, accommodating the world's teachings, whether it be on the age of the earth, whether it be on God's good creation in 6 days, whether it be on the issue of marriage being for life of the two members, whether it be even with a definition of marriage, or what it means to live a holy life or keep the Sabbath day holy. Oh, how the church, and now I'm speaking of all that calls itself church, has been influenced and much of it led astray. What is right? What is truth? Should we just become indifferent? Should we become more tolerant to those other churches with their different teachings? Yes, false teachings. Verse 1, chapter 4 of 1 John, beloved. Loved by Christ Jesus, loved by the Apostle John, he writes this epistle in order to warn us. The calling to try the spirits. Notice, first of all, the admonition. Notice, second of all, the test that is to be applied. And then, thirdly, the urgency of this. The admonition, the test used, and then the urgency. So we have an admonition. We have a duty. We have to take some action. Yes, God saves. God preserves. But he calls us to believe. He calls us to be faithful. He calls us to work, to labor for the meat that does not perish. He calls us here. There's a calling. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. How often this is lacking. The church lacks this. I can think of my second congregation. There was a very good couple there, conservative couple, involved in the church. But when it came finally to women in office, because Synod had decided something, they said, it is right now for women to be office bearers and to be ministers because our Synod has said so. This is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Even those at that particular Synod who voted in favor of women in office said, no, the scriptures don't allow it. But the Spirit is leading us in a new direction. Women are more educated today. They are taking top positions in society, and so also they should in the church. That couple was not very discerning. They would say, if the Spirit says it, or if the Senate says it, therefore it's the Spirit, it's okay. Many today are not very discerning when their pastor is speaking. Well, if the pastor has said it, it must be right. Not necessarily. How many times have I come to my congregation, or have I come to catechism students, or have I come to those that I would give instruction as they are coming new into the faith, and I would say, don't believe it just because I said it. You say, why would you say that? You're giving them instruction. Don't believe it just because I said it. Well, because if they believe me because I said it, then they're going to listen to Tom, Dick, or Harry that comes after me with a reverend title and says something and just believe it. No, our calling is to be like those noble Bereans. Do you remember them, boys and girls, from catechism? On Paul's second missionary journey. As he was traveling, he went into the town of Berea. And we read there in the scriptures that they were more noble than all the others because they searched the scriptures whether these things were so. That means we should have our Bibles open during the preaching. Follow along. Is this what the text is saying? Is this what the text demands? We need to do that also in our Bible studies. We need to do that in our home devotions. What is the Spirit saying here in the Word? Test the spirits. We need that kind of discernment. Is what I am hearing or what I'm reading what God has said? We need to do that because we're inclined to laziness. Okay, I don't need to prepare. I'll just come to church and I'll just hear what the minister has to say. I'll go to Bible study, but I don't prepare before Bible study. I'll read my devotions at the table. We'll read a couple of verses and we'll close the Bible. We'll pray. What happened to meditating upon that word? We are tempted to be lethargic. I'm so busy in so many different things that I don't have time. I do not take time to be holy. The church of Laodicea, we need a warning. We have been called an Orthodox church, and I believe we are an Orthodox church. We need to be warned lest we become like Laodicea, one of the seven churches of Asia Minor, whose love grew cold. They were lukewarm to the truth. But let's not look just out at others. Look at ourselves. Yes, there's a lot of false teaching all around. There's laziness in homes. But what about ourselves? Am I careless to the truth? How many don't say, who wants doctrine? We want things more practical. We read in 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, when we become worldly, so busy after things that we don't have time to take devotions or attend our Bible studies or go to church faithfully, godliness is stifled. And loyalty then to the church that stresses the truth of the gospel wanes. When we do not stand fast in the truth. What church shall I or my children attend? Are we looking to those that will tickle our ears, are more fun, or maybe shorter worship services, or have more programs for the children? Or when we select our church, is the one thing that is uppermost in our mind is there the Word of God preached faithfully? You say, but our seminary teaches the truth, our pastors preach the truth, and in case there is a challenge against it, well then the consistory works and then the classis works and then even Senate speaks. Searching the scriptures. But thankfully, as we know, our Senate did meet on that issue. And the Senate did look at that particular past, and that church and the Senate did say, this man is Orthodox in his theology. Might have used some wrong words to bring out in his preaching. We're all fallible, aren't we? All of us are. How thankful we can be that our pastors, our seminary, is Orthodox. It teaches the truth. But it's not only the seminary, it's not only the pastors, it's not just the elders, but God's people need to be anxious, careful for the truth. Be discerning. Be like the Bereans. There's danger. And we'll look at that under the urgency. False teaching in schools and churches, worldliness, disobedience, lifestyles, the lack of love for one another, not submitting to Christ and His Word. There's so many different ways that these spirits attack the Church of Jesus Christ. And what do we know? What do we know from Scripture? 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first couple of verses. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heavenly minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Perilous times that we live in. Not only do we need to be discerning whether there is orthodoxy, but we need to be concerned that it's not dead orthodoxy. What is that? That is when pastors or elders or members of the church have the right knowledge in their head, but it's just head knowledge and not heart knowledge. That is, they know the truth, but they don't live out of the truth and live in the truth. They know about Christ, but they don't live in Christ and out of Christ. Dead orthodoxy. We need to war against that. Am I living in the Word of God, and is that Word of God directing my life, pointing me toward God and His glory, pointing me in the way of obedience to His law so that I may be pleasing in His sight? Error of doctrine or error of life rob us of fellowship with God. For we enjoy fellowship with our God in the way of obedience and service. That's the apostle's main concern in these chapters. Living in fellowship with God, and therefore living in fellowship with one another. Oh, that we may know the covenant of God. That's John's concern here. Know the covenant of God, not just intellectually, but know that beautiful fellowship that is in God Himself, and that now we have with God. He's our God and we are His people, and the fellowship that we have together as people of God. Orthodoxy. Try the spirits. Make sure that there is not a watering down or a corrupting of the doctrine of sin. What do we have? We've got politicians or people in high powers. They fall into heinous sins. And what do they say? I made a grave misjudgment. I made a mistake having a mistress. Or I'm human and therefore I did something wrong. No, it's sin. It's sin. The alcoholic. The person taken in by pornography. It's not just a weakness. It's a sin. Corrupting of doctrines. Looking at sin and saying, well, it hurts us, but it doesn't violate our relationship with God because He forgives us. The churches, I'm talking about all that call itself churches, saying they need to be more tolerant of others and abominable actions, whether it be one's gender, changing that gender, or their lifestyles. how the modern church wants to be relevant, more tolerant. And yet that same world and those churches become very intolerant when it comes to those who stand on God's word, who stand upon orthodoxy. How little regard many have for Scripture in their daily lives. Failing to take time to be holy, failing to take time to soak up, meditate on that Word of God. The spirits go forth on pulpits, classrooms, television programs, advertisements on billboards, songs, books, broadcasts. Let's look at a couple of those TV. Always pushing the envelope, aren't they? Pushing the envelope. Introducing sinful morals, philosophies, language that's being used and tolerated. Books, children's books today, that talk about little children and their parents. They're two parents, two men in a sinful relationship, teaching, indoctrinating young children in those sins. The spirits go forth. They go forth in the name of the church itself. And so the admonition that comes, try, test the spirits, prove them. So that brings me to my second point, how. What is the standard that we use? We are to judge all things, beloved, first of all, negatively, not by rejecting anything that's new. There are those who say, well, we never did it that way. I must be wrong. It doesn't belong to our tradition. Well, things sometimes are different. The Apostle Paul, going there in Athens on Mars Hill, presenting the gospel, that was not done by anyone ever before. It was different. Not judging things by what feels good. Because if we go by what feels good, that's exactly the way the devil leads others in the way of sin. It feels good to my flesh, therefore it must be right. Those neighbors next door, they seem so nice. They're not believers at all, but they seem so nice. There must be common grace. There must be some good in them. Test the spirits is one way, not by feelings, not by what seems right, not what culture says, but test the spirits what? By the standard of God's word and God's word alone. Christ is the author. What he has done, who he is, what he determines is good or bad. The life he calls us to is right versus wrong. How can we know those false spirits over against the true spirit? Verses 2 and 3. The Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Bad spirits, evil spirits, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. We need to examine. We need to test by Christ and by his word. We read in verse 6, we are of God. We thank God. That's by grace. We're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You can know. We must know. Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, and speaking the truth in love. Spirit. It's another word. Another word for spirit is wind, huh? Don't listen to every spirit or wind of doctrine. There's a difference between that wind that is pictured there in Ephesians chapter 4, because that's a violent wind. He says, don't be tossed to and fro by that violent wind. We've had some of those rip through Michigan, haven't we? Destroying what's in its path. But here in 1 John chapter 4, the wind, rather than being violent, is rather subtle, slow. How these changes slowly take place in the church, we get used to it, so that in my old denomination, when finally, after many, many, many years, first it was women as deacons, then women as elders, and then women as pastors, they became accustomed to the misuse of Scripture. Subtle errors. The evil spirits, by measuring, coming with a gentle breeze, a new perspective. Don't be so judgmental of others. Don't be such a stickler for doctrine. John says those spirits go forth. There is the Spirit of God, the teachings of God and His Word, and then there is the spirits not of God, that is the teachings of error. Try the spirits. You see, the spirits here in our text are teachings, philosophies. Whether it comes from a pulpit, whether it comes in a classroom, whether it comes over your television, whether it comes in magazines, it's philosophies or teachings. And God's Word says, try, prove, test them. Those teachings have been here since the world began. Satan. Satan coming down to Eve there in the garden, asking questions. You may eat from any tree of the garden? Who said that? And finally the falsehood. No, that's not true at all. But if you eat of that fruit, you will be like God. Nimrod. Let's build us a city. Eat up even into heavens. But you'll notice there in verse 3 that these spirits, these teachings, are really the spirit of Antichrist. It is those false teachings, those humanistic teachings that fly through this world that assist the Antichrist who is coming. And as we know from the book of Revelation, the whore that assists that Antichrist is the false church herself, whether it be the Catholic Church or liberal Protestant churches. It is the spirit of Antichrist. Do you wonder why there was so much demon possession in Jesus' earthly ministry? Well, because the spirit, the devil sends out his spirit even as God sent out his Son. Jesus Christ. Jesus defeated those evil demons, sending them out. Boys and girls, remember that the story of those spirits that were cast out that man into the 1,000 swine. They were drowned in the sea. Powerful, misleading are these spirits. How do we see those things today? Well, the spirit of Antichrist, Antichrist means not only in opposition to Christ, but it is those spirits that seek to take the place of Christ Jesus. So how do we know this, those false teachings, that spirit of Antichrist? And the answer in God's word is they deny God's Messiah. They deny that Jesus Christ came in our flesh. They deny that Jesus Christ is personally the Son of God. They deny that one is saved only through blood theology, that is, through Jesus' spilt blood of the cross. They deny his resurrection. They deny the resurrection of the dead of those who believe in Jesus Christ. They deny that there is any life after death. They deny that the word that we have is the word of Christ or the word of God. And they say, well, it contains the word of God, but it is not the word of God itself. There's many human elements in it. Those spirits, those teachings, those lies, that error brings disillusion. They say, well, yes, Jesus was a good man, quite a leader, but not powerful to save. Or they say, Jesus wants to save everyone. He loves everyone, and one is saved only if you are willing to be saved. Free willism. And therefore robs God in his Christ of all his glory and power to save. Yes, those spirits attack the church. Do you really believe yet in a six-day creation? And so they say, no, this is God's special revelation, but we got to listen to God's natural revelation. We have to listen to the scientists today who speak out of common grace and teach us that the world is billions of years old. They deny that the word of God is the word of God, word for word. They reject the scripture. A few years ago, there was a young man in a public school, valedictorian, but denied by the school to give his speech at graduation. Why? Because he had some scripture quotes in that speech. Oh, beloved, you and I need to go through our life, married life, single life, work life, life in the community, with our scriptures in our hands. That's the objective standard for what is right and what is wrong. Scripture given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Yes, on this Pentecost, we thank God for his Spirit. The Spirit who gave us the Word, the same Spirit that was given to Christ and Christ is given to his church, that same Spirit that enables us to understand these scriptures, hide them in our hearts, and then to live out of that Word of God. Scriptures. Not a mixture of scripture and pagan thought. Not blending it with New Age philosophy. Beloved, know your scriptures. Live out of the scriptures. All of the scriptures. Not picking and choosing your favorite passages and using those, but all of God's word, explaining one another's passages. If we are not students of God's word, we will become a prey to heresy, and we will fall away from the true church. 2 Peter 3, verse 16. The unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Beloved, I've seen this firsthand. In the church that I grew up in Michigan, elders were not careful what kind of a pastor they would put up on nomination. In fact, some of those same elders knew that he was a neo-Pentecostal. They didn't tell the rest of the consistory. They didn't tell the church because they thought that would be novel. That would be new. That would be good for the church. That pastor came. Not only did he open God's word, but then he would try to teach the children in catechism instead of the Heidelberg catechism how to speak in tongues, how to be slain by the Holy Spirit. And he took a good segment out of that Christian Reformed church My father was one of those elders at that time who cast him out. And they all followed him through the whole south in caravan. They were going to convert the world, except it was winter when they went to all those different parks, and there was no one there. Unstable, unlearned, easily falling for his techniques and this new theology, led astray to destruction. How can I know what's right and what's wrong? By the scriptures that always reveal the Spirit of Christ. That's the Spirit's work. He points away from himself. He says, look to Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ alone. In Christ you have life. Live for him. Do you remember what Jesus had to say to the evil rulers in his day when they attacked him? John chapter 5. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are them that testify of me. You see, in some ways those leaders were orthodox. Oh, they knew God's word. They wanted to be more orthodox in the word of God, adding to the rules. But they failed to see the spirit of the scriptures as he revealed the Christ. That spirit who testifies to Christ also testifies of the holiness that Christ works in us. We are to live in Christ, a holy people. That's not legalism. But beloved, that is thankful living. That is devotion to God and to his word. There is the error of Christian liberty, the error of thinking that, well, that means one can do whatever they want. They're not under the law anymore. But that's not Christian liberty. Christian liberty is set free from the power of sin in order that we may gladly worship and serve and live for our God. A spirit of error. I can do my own thing. I can desecrate the Sabbath. I don't have to obey it. I can break my marriage bonds. Test. Prove the spirits, whether they be of God. There's several implications. Number one, you and I owe our orthodoxy to the work of the Holy Spirit. You and I owe our orthodoxy to the work of the Holy Spirit. We read in 1 John 4, verse 5, ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. I stress that. That's an important implication, because too often, I believe, we as a church are proud. We're orthodox. We're a true church. We've got the right knowledge. Thank God, I'm thankful for what God has given to us in his word. I am thankful for our doctrines. But let's not get proud as if we did something. It's God's grace, God's undeserved faithfulness to us as churches. No pride. We cannot take credit for our orthodoxy. Number two, the passage clearly teaches, be discerning. Walk in the Spirit. The Spirit today preparing us through the preaching of the word to go forth in service. Obedient to God. I don't know if there's any young graduates here this year. How important our Christian schools are, aren't they? Along with good instruction in the home, good instruction by your pastor in the catechism classes and in the preaching, also in every area of life in our good Christian school. How important that is. The Spirit must awaken and convict us. Every believer, using the Word of God. Be discerning, third of all, in the reading material that you have, in the listening material you hear over the radio, what entertainment you listen to. Put it to the test. Put it to the test. Would God be pleased? Is this according to the Word of God? Is God glorified? Test the spirits like a carpenter tests the straightness of different things in the house that he's building. He uses a level there. Is it straight up and down? Is it horizontal? Test what you hear, what you see, what you listen to, what you read by God's Word. And that's why you and I can be thankful for our confessions. Because you see, the Holy Spirit has been leading His church for 2,000 years now, hasn't He? Confessions. They guide us in the right direction. What is right? What is wrong? When I was in the Philippines, there was a young man. He wanted to study both Hebrew and Greek. He says, because I want to read the Word of God and interpret the Word of God for myself. I don't want to listen to anyone else. Well, it sounds first good, doesn't it? Until you realize he's proud. Whatever I think the Word of God is saying here, the Holy Spirit has been leading his church now for 2,000 years. Over against all the errors. If you wanted to have a car or you wanted to have a wagon, would you start all over trying to reinvent the wheel? Well, the Holy Spirit has given us our confessions as he has guided the truth out of error into the truth of God's Word. We are a confessional church. How we need that Word, how we need our confessions. Why is this so urgent? Test the spirits. Because in John's day already, as he's there on the island of Patmos, receives the revelation of God, he writes to the churches that he pastored. And he says, test these spirits because there were false teachers going around. There was false teachings. So this is a calling for each of us in our life. It's not enough to say, may the pastor be orthodox and may the elders be orthodox and the church be orthodox, but each one of us be obedient to the Word of God. Every of our sermons are supervised, aren't they, by our elders. Pray for them. Pray for your pastor that you may hear the Word of God purely preached. Those evil spirits, as I said before, have gone out, continue to go out, and will continue to go out in the Antichrist coming. Be warned. Reject the false. Believe, hold to the right. The world is saying, join us, or you're going to be outcasts. How do you and I, as the light of the Lord, live antithetically in this dark, dark world? Urgency, because not only is the world tempting us, but our sinful flesh, like Eve's, likes to obey, likes to follow along. How often we still hear, has God really said, can you really trust this or that? Even in Christian colleges, they say today, we want the minds of our young people as they come to be open, no longer holding fast to what they were taught by their mothers and their fathers, by their church, by their Christian school. The victory is ours. It's a battle. It's a battle. But verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. All praise to God. No pride. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He guides his church in the truth. And now our calling, test the spirits, whether they are of God. Amen. Father in heaven, make us a discerning people so that we turn our ear away from falsehoods, from lies, from errors. And we turn our eyes and our ears to what the Word of God has to say. We're thankful for the Spirit. This is not our work. It's not our efforts, but it is the Spirit working in us, the Spirit of Christ. We thank Thee, Father, for this Sunday. We glory in that Spirit that Christ has given to us. And we pray for His work. Amen.